Earlier on in our studies, we focus on the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Then we notice that we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And the last study, Christ, the chief cornerstone. And here we are faced with Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. As we said before, He is our model. He is our example. So as the believer may endure suffering, he is to focus on Christ. It reminds me of a verse in 2 Timothy, where Timothy, he was told to experience hardships and so on, trials that would come his way. And Paul reminds him in the second epistle, chapter 2, and verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So in the midst of all that will come, that he would encounter, he is to remember Jesus Christ, not as dead, the one who suffered, who died, but he's alive again. We were told about the living hope, which is based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so, in other passages of Scripture, even in the passage we have read in chapter 3 and verse 18, there again, Christ. For Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive, quickened by the Spirit. So as we consider him, even though we might be faced with trials or tribulations or whatever sort, instead of looking inward, we are to look to him. He is our model. He is our example in all this.
I'll try to make an explanation of the difference between the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood. I hope I can make it easy for the young people. You know, sometimes when I go home, my wife tells me, it was much simpler than what you said. You made it more difficult. So I'll let you judge. No one in the Old Testament could offer a sacrifice except a priest, the sons of Aaron. No one can even offer incense in the presence of the Lord except being a son of Aaron, a priest. And now the Apostle Peter is telling us that we are holy priesthood. All believers that believe in Christ can offer sacrifices. They used to offer, and remember always, there's a comparison between the old and the new, that he's speaking to Christian Jews. They used to offer bloody sacrifices. He gets an ox and offers it, and sprinkles the blood, and so on. But we do not offer bloody sacrifices. That was the sacrifice of Christ. He offered once and for all. But we offer spiritual sacrifices. And what are these spiritual sacrifices? Maybe we can read a verse in Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto God. And it says a few things. That the sacrifices we offer is in the name of the Lord, by Jesus Christ. He is the one that raises these sacrifices in us, and they are the fruit of our lips. It is praise, thanksgiving. There is a verse that says, we shall offer unto you the calves of our lips, meaning the oxen of our lips. It is praise and thanksgiving. So these are the spiritual sacrifices, and it is not only for men. The brothers can use this audibly in the meeting, but sisters also are priests. It is no difference between a man and woman in Christ. They can offer the praise and adoration, the fruit of their lips at home, the expression of thanksgiving. So that is the holy priesthood instead of the priests of the Old Testament. Now he says also in verse 9, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now this also was said to the Old Testament saints. The Lord said to them, if you obey my words, then you are going to be unto me a peculiar people, a special nation. He is taking some of these words and using them here. So what is a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood? It is to show forth the excellency of him that called us out of darkness. It is to show outwardly this kingly character, the character of our God, who had called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were all born in darkness. No one in this world except born in that domain of darkness. But the power of God, he removed us from this darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians 1, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from darkness to his marvelous light. Sorry, to the kingdom of his Son. So we are delivered from darkness. We don't live in darkness anymore. We are capable of making the works of darkness. But we have moved us from the domain of darkness into his marvelous light, to the kingdom of his Son. So the royal priesthood is to show that forth to the world. So if the holy priesthood is God's word, is bringing sacrifices, thanksgiving and praises unto God, the royal priesthood is man's word, is to show this into the world. He called us out of darkness. And in the new passage that we read, ye are called. Verse 21 of the same chapter, even here unto were ye called. It's a beautiful word. He called us. He is the one that brought us unto himself. And here in verse 21, what are we called for? He called us because Christ has also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He suffered for our sins, as we read in chapter 3. He suffered for us. He gave himself for us. He gave himself unto God. So here he suffered for us, and he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And there are four things that the scripture mentions here that we should follow in his steps. And most of them are very difficult. Who did no sin? Did no sin. So you and I are to follow him in doing no sin. I think this is the language of the Apostle John. John writes things in the absolute. I write unto you, brethren, that you sin not. It is not that you don't sin very often, but you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. So this is the first thing that we should follow. He did no sin. There was no guile in his mouth. We heard in verse 1, laying aside all malice and guile. in all these things, there was no guile. He only spoke words of grace. They marveled at the words of grace that came out of his mouth. And then when he suffered, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And in many cases, when we are reviled, we revile again. We take revenge. We react in the same way. But he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. And this matter of threatening is very easy for us to do. You know whom you're talking to. And I'm going to do this and that and the other. But he threatened not. And the last thing he did, but submitted himself to him that judges righteously. And these are beautiful virtues in qualities in our Lord Jesus Christ that we should follow in his steps.